Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
If you had a copy of God's Word with you, turn to 2 Chronicles. That's the book in the Bible that you skip because you're like, that's the book that lists everything. Well, God's going to speak to us today from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Comes after 1 Chronicles, if you didn't know. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to read several verses today because I got the cream of the crop here this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to start in verse 17, and we're going to go all the way through verse 25. And so as you're turning there, I'm going to jump right in because I got a few things to say and not much time to say it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. We're going to jump right in. I'll explain context in a moment. You will not have to fight this battle. Can somebody say amen one sentence in? You will not have to fight this battle. Y'all a little rowdy today. I like it. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. This is God's people. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. This is kind of like last week with God and Joshua. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow. And where's the promise? The Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat, not F-A-T, fat, P-H-A-T, fat. By the way, if you're looking for a good boy name, Jehoshaphat is not the one. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites and some Kohathites and Korathites, maybe that's right, I don't know. They stood up and they praised the Lord, the God of Israel. Notice this, with a very loud voice. Okay, I'm going to talk to my Baptist friends and my Methodist friends in the room, okay? With a very loud voice. In fact, if you got a Bible that you can like do some stuff on it, like you can circle things, highlight things, would you do that with a very loud voice? There comes a time and a place, friend, where we should be quiet before the Lord. That's biblical for sure. But there's also a time and a place where the intensity of your praise should match the intensity of the battle you face. Like I'm preaching good before I'm preaching, y'all. Okay? Like there's just some times in your life that a little kumbaya with the Lord will not suffice. That you've got to raise your voice. You got to get to that loud kind of praise where you ain't worried about somebody else. You're worried about encountering the real living God. They were quiet before the Lord. They bowed before the Lord, but they also stood up and they raised their voices. The truth is you need both in your worship arsenal. You need to be still and quiet before the Lord, but you also should have moments where you raise your volume just a little bit. Verse 20, early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, King Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will not be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. That's interesting. Saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing, notice that, as they, not before, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites, they rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy, and they annihilated them. And then after that, they turned on each other and they slaughtered the men from Seir. They helped to destroy one another. Verse 24, when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, they're ready for battle. They looked over and looked toward that vast army and they saw that there was only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men, they went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. What an amazing story hidden here in 2 Chronicles. Calling this message, if you're taking notes, drop this down. Calling this message today, praising through my problems. praising through my problems. And I hope you want to be encouraged today, because I want to encourage some folk from God's word, praising through my problems. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we're about to have some fun today in your house, and I'm going to preach my guts out like every single week, but God, we know that it's really a 50-50 deal right now. It's not just on me, it's also on them. Like, what's going to be the posture of their heart and their soul? They're taking a soil test in their soul every single week. They sit underneath your teaching, and not just the people in this room, but also those that listen on the podcast. Lord, I pray this 50-50 deal that we would all do our part, and if we'll do our part, because your word does not return void, if we'll do our part, we will all walk away changed by you. But it's a 50-50 deal. So may they lean in, not just physically, but spiritually. And the same work that you're doing in my life this last week as I studied and as I prayed and as I planned, same work you've been doing in me, may you do in them. God, we're going to praise through our problems. We love you. And we bless your name, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Praising through my problems. Here's what I know. Everybody listening today, you're facing some problems. Like, you're facing some problems. We all have them. The parents listening this morning, can we all admit we've got some problems? All the people who would say they don't have enough money in the bank, can we all agree we've got some problems? Anybody listening that needs a physical healing in your body, can we all agree together that we have some problems? And so the question that everybody is asking is this: how do I handle my problems? Not when are my problems coming, friend. They are already on my doorstep. And just like King Jehoshaphat, y'all, it's not just one enemy. It's three enemies surrounding us. Y'all know when it rains, it pours. We've got some problems. And the truth is, we don't know how to solve our problems. Because I'm talking to non-Christians and Christians today. Hear me, friend. We are running to the wrong relationship, the wrong substance. We're running to the emptiness of social media likes and follows, thinking that it will fix what's going on, but it doesn't make us feel any better. We're running to podcasts and new diets. We're running to self-help books, trying to figure out the solution. And I'm telling you, it's not working, but I've got good news. Anybody want to hear some good news today? I've got good news that God actually gives us some incredible insight into how we fight the battles that we face and how we handle the problems in front of us. And so if you're like me, and I think you are, and you've got some problems and you're fighting some battles, this message is dedicated to you. God's going to give us a blueprint for how we handle what's before us. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Three things I want to share today, and then we'll pray and end this thing. Number one, we need to first bow before the battle. Again, if you've got some problems, if you're in the middle of a battle, you should be taking notes today, because this message is directly for you. We're going to bow before the battle. Where'd you get that from, Pastor? Verse 18. Jehoshaphat, what did he do? He bowed down with his face to the ground. Let me say this. Your physical posture should match your spiritual posture. He bowed down with his face to the ground. He could have bowed down with just his heart and his mind, but physically he matched what he was doing spiritually. And all the people, all God's people, they fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Remember today that Jehoshaphat and God's people, they are surrounded by enemies ready to attack. And instead of holding an emergency strategy session, instead of downloading the art of war and listening on it to it on 2x speed, he says, hold on a minute, and let's just bow. Like, hold on a minute. Can someone turn on Oceans in the background? Take me deeper than, you know, I was like, everybody's like, is this not the worst military strategy ever? Like, remember what I said? We don't just read the Bible here at Christ Covenant. We let the Bible read us, okay? Put ourselves in the story. Like, what? Like, take me, why? Like, what are we doing? We should be strategizing. This is not good. You're the king. We respect you, but still, this is not good. How could he respond this way? Here's how. He knew something that maybe you don't know. He knew that the only way he could win this battle was to first bow before the Lord, to humble himself. That's what he was doing. To humble himself before God. You see, in verse 17, we jumped right in. So let me give you some context here. In verse 17, the first verse we read together, this is actually a prophecy. We missed that because we just jumped right in. It's a prophecy. This is God using a man to speak a word on God's behalf. By the way, God did it Old Testament, New Testament, and he still does that today, where God used a man to speak a word. So verse 17 is a word from God. In verse 18, Jehoshaphat bowing down is his response to God's word. That's how we should be. That when God speaks, we don't just listen to it and clap for it, but we respond to what God has called us to do. How many of you know it's one thing to say you trust God, it's another thing to wait while you trust in God? Like, that's a lot harder. If I asked all of you after the service, do you trust in God? Most of you would say yes, not all of you, but most would say yes. But it's hard to wait while you trust in God. Let me talk to all the leaders in the room for a moment. Okay, you listen up. We got a lot of leaders represented in our house. Listen to this. Notice that when the leader bowed before the Lord, everybody followed. Notice that when the king, the guy in leadership, when he put God first, when he trusted in God, everybody else follow. You own a business. You need to trust in God and everybody else will follow. Men, let's rise up and be the men of God that God's called us to be. And when you trust in God, your family will follow. Can I get a witness in God's house? If I can't get a witness here, I can't get one out there, okay? I need a witness in here. Parent, I don't care if you're a single parent. When you trust in God and you bow before God, your family, your kids, they will follow your lead. You can blame it on whatever. You can talk about what you don't have. You've got something. You've got God on your side. We are called to bow before the battle. We're not going to rush in and try to fix it ourselves because we already know that's not working. We will not try to win when God will win for us. Here's the second point. God's called us to number two, praise during the battle. We bow before the battle, and we praise during the battle. This is verse 22. As they began, not before, as they began, as they started to sing and praise, this is when the Lord set ambushes against their enemies. And what was the result? They were defeated. As you know, your voice is a powerful thing. Like, your voice is powerful. I remember this as a seventh grade young man. I've shared some of this before, but seventh grade was not a great year for me. Like not a great year. And we got students that are going to seventh grade. It's going to be a great year for you. We're believing that. Y'all laughing. I'm trying to be serious. I don't encourage. Like some people love seventh grade, but for me, it was tough. It's like your body's changing. Your voice is changing. It's called puberty, and it's brutal. It's just brutal. And I just remember all these different things. Like, I didn't make the basketball team, and it was just rough on me. And they make you go to the school to see if your name's on there. And my name wasn't on there, but my friends' names were on there. And it's like, man, it's just tough. And I remember different times that, you know, I just wouldn't even want to speak up because, you know, my voice would squeak. You know, all the guys that have been through this, you understand. And, you know, you'd be talking with your buddies, and you go from a 13-year-old boy to a 5-year-old girl real quick. And as y'all can tell, I'm a white boy, and so I don't go from white to tan when I get embarrassed. I go from white to red, y'all. Like, I wish it was white to tan, then I'd stay embarrassed all the time, but it's white to red. And so it was just a really tough time. I remember, this is like Stone Ages, but I remember before we had cell phones, you know, this is like when we had like horses and buggies. Y'all remember that time? Like, we didn't have cell phones. And so I would call from our home phone to my mom, who's a nurse at the office, and it would be an operator that would connect us. And so I'd be talking, hey, can I talk to my mom? And they would think I'm my mom's daughter instead of my mom's son. And it just hurt, y'all. This is rough. It was rough. Some of y'all remember this, but a few months ago, I was preaching so good, I lost my voice at the end of the message. Y'all remember that? I was shouting real good, and it was great, you know, just all that kind of stuff. And so I lost a voice at the end, and some of you are like, oh, I wanted to bring you water. I was like, it was cool, I finished the thing. That's right, I'll recover later. And so like, when you lose your voice, it's like you lose your power. Your voice is a powerful thing. In fact, can I tell you something today? The enemy, he knows this, and he'll try to silence your voice. I'm speaking to somebody's soul. I just feel it with all, like into my bones. I feel it. Holy Spirit's here. But the enemy will try to silence your voice. He'll try to silence your praise. He'll try to silence your worship. But the king, he learned something, this huge battle before him. He learned that even though the enemies are great, his God is greater. That even though the things are against him in this world, that God who lives outside of what we can comprehend or understand, he's got everything under control. Try to silence your voice because there's power in your praise. What do we see from the text? Our praise actually sets an ambush on our problems. In fact, if I'm taking notes, I'll write that down. Our praise actually sets an ambush on our problems. I'll put it to you this way if you didn't like that. Some of y'all need to start giving your problems a problem. Let that sink in today. You need to start giving your problems a problem because when you begin to praise, God has the power to turn your problems on each other. It's what he can do. Let's give our problem a problem. Well, I've got cancer, Pastor. Well, let's give cancer a problem because my God is a healer. Well, I've got poverty, Pastor. Let me remind you that my God is a provider. You've got fear and anxiety. Why don't you serve them a problem today and let them know my God is the Prince of Peace. Friend, your problem's no match for my God. Your problem is no match for my God. You see, when God's people began to worship and praise the Lord, the enemy was destroyed. Why? Because God was fighting their battle. He was doing what they could not do on their own. I just love the Bible, love this Bible story because again, Jehoshaphat, he makes a very controversial military decision. Can we all say it's a dumb decision in the natural? He's there and he's getting ready to fight and he's got his secret service guys and you know, they've been born and bred for this, trained for this. They don't do anything else but fight and kill people. And they're coming to their king, and they're like Russell Crowe from The Gladiator, y'all. Are you not entertained, you know? Like, that'd be a great gif if somebody caught that on video. Are you not entertained? I mean, they've got their shield, their sword, their spear. They got their armor on with like the three horses. They name their horses. I mean, they are ready to go. And they come to their king, like, king, where you want us? You know, we're usually front line. Where you want us? And King Jehoshaphat's like, hold on. I know y'all normally on the front line because y'all are the best. But let's go second line with y'all. Y'all could be towards the front, but not on the front. And he's like, hey, this happened. We just read this. Oh, hey, somebody grab the worship leaders. Like you know those guys in skinny jeans with $10 lattes in their hands wearing a scarf? Somebody grab them. And everybody's like, what? What? Like, I almost picture the king, like, pushing those guys to the side. Like, come on, worship leaders. They're tripping because their pants are so tight, you know? It's like... And he's like, y'all are, like, I'm not just trying to, admit, like, this really happened. We read this, okay? He's like, y'all are on the front line. And so literally they go into this, not with their best fighting men, but their best worshiping men on the front lines. How could he make this decision? How? It does not make sense in the natural. How could he do it? It's because Jehoshaphat believed the prophecy and he trusted that all they had to do was praise the Lord and God would fight the battle. That all they had to do was praise God. And friend, I just wonder, like just think with me for a moment, what would happen if you began to praise loud during your battle? I just wonder today, think with me, that even though you're surrounded by enemies, what would happen if you realized that God is surrounding them? That you would begin to worship and praise God like the battle's already won, even though you're still in the middle of the battle. What would happen? I wonder what would happen if you get your eyes off your problem and your eyes onto Jesus. We will praise during the battle. Notice the progression. This is the blueprint for how we fight our battles. We bow before the battle. We praise during the battle. And then number three, jot this down. We receive after the battle. In fact, why don't you help me on the count of three? Can y'all say after? One, two, three.
After.
Come on, let's do it again. One, two, three.
After.
We want it before. We want to receive the blessing, the victory, the spoils. We want it before, right? When God, you lay it out, I want it before. You give it to me now, then I'll trust you. That's not how it works. You receive after the battle. What could you say, Pastor? You could say it this way, that you will never get the blessing until you go into the battle. We want to avoid battles at all costs. Well, you'll never get the spoils if you avoid all the battles. Receive after the battle. This is verse 25, last one we read. So Jehoshaphat and his men, they went to carry off. This is after there was an ambush and they turned on each other. They killed each other. Jehoshaphat and his men, they went to carry off their plunder. They found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. Doesn't that sound like our God, friend? More than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. How awesome must that have been? They were so tired collecting their victory. I don't know about y'all, but I want to get tired collecting my victory. Like, I want to get tired not working for the victory, but receiving the blessing after the victory. Well, God, you gave me another blessing financially. Okay, I'll take that one. Oh, God, I'm so tired. There's so many raises and blessings. Like, don't you want that? You don't want it, I want it. I'll take it, God. I'll take it. We all want the victory. We all want the spoils. And so what do? We strive and we grind and we work and we try to fix it ourselves. Now that doesn't work, so we strategize and we worry and we're anxious and that doesn't work. And so we think about it, we replay it, we think about it, we replay it. And what does that lead to? It leads to defeat and not victory. This is a word for somebody. This is a word for somebody. Receive this. You are losing your fight because you're in the ring when God is supposed to be in the ring. If that's your word, you grab it, you hold it close today. You are losing your battle, not because God is weak, but he's waiting for you to pull a WWE, y'all. Come on, somebody. He's your tag team partner. Like, I just became some of y'all's best friends. You're like, he referenced WWE in church. I did. Like, he's just waiting on the outside of the ropes. And you're striving and you're working. And, oh, I'm making a little bit of progress today. But you're losing. And God is with you because he never leaves you. He's right there. But you got to tag him. You got to bring him in. And so here's how it should work. Is you praise and you worship him while he steps into the ring and fights for you. You don't sit idle. You don't sit on your hands. You praise, you worship, you lift up his holy name, you put him first, you trust in him, you humble yourself, you wait and trust, you wait and trust, you keep worshiping, you keep praising. Your friends and family say it can't happen, you don't know my God. Your co-workers say it can't happen, you don't know my God. And you keep pressing, and you keep pressing, and you keep praising, and you keep praising. I wonder what would happen if you lift up the level of your worship and your praise. I wonder what would happen. You're losing your fight because you're in the ring when God's supposed to be in the ring. Your problems are great, but God is greater. Let him fight while you praise, and then you'll receive the reward. Come on, somebody say, and then. Not before then. And then you'll receive the reward. Not before, after. We want the victory. We want the spoils. We want all the good things that come at the end. But you got to go into that battle. And when God wins the battle for you, he's the only one that gets the glory. You see, the king and his people, his mighty men, his secret service who weren't even on the front lines, no one, it would be ridiculous if they claimed the victory for themselves. Because when they all looked over, do you remember reading this? When they all looked over, there was no one left. Three different military attacks, and there was no one left and not one person from God's people had to kill somebody from the other side. Not one. And they looked over and they saw that the victory was won, and not a single person, believer or unbeliever, could claim the victory. God was the only one who got the glory. And that's how it works in your life. When you try to win, I'm preaching to somebody's soul today. When you try to win the battle on your own, it's because you want the glory. Let's get real. When God fights your battle, he will get the glory. Because he's the only one. He's the one that's got the power. Like you're good, but you're not that great. God is great. He's the one. We didn't read this, and I'll end on this before we pray. We didn't read this, but if he kept on reading in the story, and I'd encourage you to do that this week, that after they collected the spoils, remember, 3 days, after they collected the victory, they kept doing what they had been doing the whole time. You can read this for yourself, but they praised God. They praised God. Let me ask you a rhetorical question, just answer it in your heart. What was the theme of the passage? The theme was praise. The theme was praise. They worshiped God before the battle, they praised God during the battle, and they thanked God after the battle. And that is your blueprint from God's word. I'm going to say it again. They worship God before the battle, they praise God during the battle, and they thank God after the battle. And this is how you fight your battles. This is the blueprint. This is the strategy. Use this today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. You keep praising and you keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Holy God, we love you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. We thank you that anytime we gather together and preach your word and hear your word, there's power for change. And I just pray for my friends today in this room and those on the podcast. They've been trying, they've been striving, and trying to fix their problem. Trying to fix their situation. They've been in that ring, just sparring, trying to take down the enemy. And today I pray they realize the secret to the victory. I pray today they would realize that you've called us to bow before the battle, to humble ourselves before you, to put our trust in you, to put our faith in you. In fact, you say in your word that it's impossible to please you without faith. We put our faith and our trust in you, that even though we want to rush in and we want to conquer the giant and we want to do this and we want to do that and we want to take care of it right away, you've called us to humble ourselves before you, that our physical posture would actually match our spiritual posture. I pray, God, for the many of us, there's a lot, that we're in the middle of a battle. And we've been so focused on the problem, but today we realize we gotta serve our problem a problem. That we're gonna begin to praise, and we're gonna begin to worship, and we're gonna begin to lift up the mighty, powerful name of Jesus, because you are the one that can fight and win our battle. So even though things don't look good, even though friends or coworkers or acquaintances or maybe even family members will make fun or say it's ridiculous because it is in the natural, God, we believe in the supernatural. And so we're going to praise and we're going to worship. And even though it doesn't look good right now, we can see that on the other side, there's going to be a victory. And I pray that you remind my friends today, Lord, number three, that we don't receive anything until after the battle. We want it all before. We want the spoils. We want the victory now. In fact, we don't even just want it now. We wanted it yesterday, Lord. We want it. We want it. We want it. But we will never receive the victory unless we first go through the battle. So may we not avoid the battles, but may we trust you in the battles. Because when we see you come through, and you will come through, when we see you come through, it takes our faith and our praise and our worship to another level. And And that victory spurs us on to the next battle that you have before us. And I pray, God, that after we get the blessing, after we get the victory, that we would not forget to thank you for it. Because you're the one. Yeah, we have a role to play. That's worship and praise, trusting in you, having faith in you. May we never forget. May our hearts always be filled with thankfulness that you are the one. You are the one. Got to think about what you're doing in our church. You're the one. It's you. It's you, and we thank you for it. Keep your heads bowed, eyes closed all across the house today. Those listening online, if you're able to, would you close your eyes with us? Friend, I want to tell you some more good news today. I want to tell you with all sincerity how much Jesus loves you. This world we live in, we feel like there's all this false love, just pretend, there's this facade. Who can we really trust? You can trust in Jesus. He loves you. He cares for you. In fact, he orchestrated your whole week and your whole morning to get you here. He made sure that you found that link online and you clicked that podcast. He made sure that flat tire didn't stop you from getting here. He made sure that appointment, you're able to put that off, or that you got scheduled for a different day instead of Sunday morning. He made sure he got you here. He wants you to know that he loves you, that he cares for you. He wants you to know that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead. He paid the penalty for your sin and my sin on that cross. And today, all you've got to do is put your faith and trust in him. All you got to do is receive the gift that he's sliding across the table. He wants to pour out his grace and his mercy and his love upon you. He won't make you surrender your life to him. He won't turn you into a robot and make you click accept. He gives you free will today. You can choose right now to receive him or not receive him. It's up to you. So with heads bowed, eyes closed all across this place, if that's you today and you want to surrender your life to Jesus for the first time or the first time in a long time, would you lift up your hand so I can see it? No one looking but me. Thank you. Put it down. Just be bold right where you are. God, you're so good. So good. Keep those eyes closed with me. Those that raised your hand a moment ago, maybe you're listening online and you said, hey, that's me, that's me, that's me. I'm going to ask each of you to repeat a prayer out loud. Not in your mind, but out loud. It's a confession of your faith in Jesus. The amazing thing about this is you're not going to be the only voice. That as you confess this out loud, there's going to be a whole bunch of people beside you. They're going to say it out loud with you. The Christians in the room that are going to support you. And this is the first sign for you to know. Hear this, friend. This is the first sign for you to know you are not alone. That as they raise their voices and they confess their faith in Jesus, just like you do, you can know right now, day one of your journey, that you are not alone. That you've got friends, you've got family, you've got a church is going to help you in your journey towards Jesus. Keep those eyes closed, those heads bowed. Those that raise your hand and also those that are Christ followers, say this after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, and for your mercy. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Jesus, make me new. Jesus, I put my trust, my life in your hands. From this day forward, I choose. Come on, say that part again. I choose to follow you. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, in Jesus' name. amen, and amen, and amen. Can somebody raise up the level of your praise for our awesome God? We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. No one like our God. No one like our God.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.